Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Sex, violence, Frank Moran. We're back to talk Riverdale with you here on AfterBuzz TV. Hang with us, guys. We're breaking down the fourth episode of season two. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Can't really get an anthem this one.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back. The boys and girl are back in town.
Hey.
We're all together. Everybody's here. We're all here to talk about Riverdale. We're so excited. I'm actually excited. I know I always joke about this show, but I'm so pumped because I just love Riverdale. I just really do. I love Riverdale. It's like my favorite thing on earth. Guys, what's going on? It's AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk Riverdale Season 2, Episode 4. What is it? The town that... What was the name?
Dreaded Sundown.
The Dreaded Sundown. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, Ben.
So, guys, let's get straight into things. We have so much to talk about. I know it's late for all of us here on the West Coast. First and foremost, guys, I'm Ben Baben. You can find me at Ben Baben Media, Twitter, Instagram, here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm going to go this way. We got Joelle back on the panel.
Yes. Hello, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
We got the show mascot, Mr. Frank Moran. He's in the house.
That's right, folks. Now you don't have to worry about me leading the show. We've got everything's right now. We've got the captain where he belongs.
Hey.
But it's nice of you to say, Frank.
That's true. Yeah. Yes, people just yelled at me, just like, please, get
I
up.
Watched your episode, and you were terrific.
No, that's
so
a lie.
You stop it.
That is a lie.
Stop it right now.
You can follow me on social media at Happy Go Jackie.
And I will, and I do. So, guys, let's talk about Riverdale. This show is just tantalizing. There's just so much that I like about it. I can't ever quite get past the fact that, like, I keep wanting to tell myself it's a guilty pleasure, but I don't even feel guilty.
I don't feel guilty even a little bit. And this episode was delivering at the top of its game.
Yeah.
Definitely my favorite of the season so far. A lot of things came to a head so much faster than I thought. I thought, you know, with the longer season, sometimes there's a tendency to drag storylines out. Not so this week.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's fine line of dragging things out, but also pushing story. I mean, you don't want to... Don't want to drag it out because then it gets tiresome. But they also feel like you get to the OC where you're churning through stories so fast.
Mm.
Then you're like, then it just gets like into crazy town, and you're like,
yeah.
Well, where are we at now?
Well, yeah. What I wonder is like how many episodes are we going to focus on the Black Hood for? It's the first question I have. Is like, how long do you think that storyline is going
to
last?
I would love it to be 11 and 11.
Ooh, interesting.
Like, you want that to be the storyline of the first half of season one.
I think that'd be cool.
And then Sabrina for our second half, we start getting into the magic, maybe.
That'd be cool. But I think this would work better. I think last season worked well because it was a smaller episode count.
Yeah.
I feel like if you treat it like this and just give us two mysteries or two storylines, I think it'd be better.
Yeah. I'm with you. That mid-season break should be just a nice turnaround off of the killer and into whatever, you know, drama he has spun.
Right. Do we all love Tony Topaz as much as I do?
Oh, my God. I'm the worst. I ship everything, but I'm already on the new ship. I tweeted it out. I asked for name suggestions. I'm about... What? Dark, creepy kids that like serial killers? That was my brand in high school. I love this. I'm excited about it.
It's just full Mindhunter right now.
It's totally...
It's so funny, too, how, like, Frank, you pointed this out, like, the second episode or whenever this... Yeah, the second episode. The amount of Zodiac killer they've gone with this is, like, kind of astonishing. And they called attention to it at the beginning of this episode.
Yes.
It's the first one that he references. Like, they're not even pulling their punches. It's just, like, scenes out of the movie Zodiac, and they're just using them in the show.
I love it. We get to see him as he's going. I thought that was a really cool way that was shot, as he's going down each row of the library, just seeing a different serial killer.
Yeah.
That was really nicely done.
Yeah, definitely. I ship them also, but... Oh, it's so
but do
difficult.
You really?
I don't know. There's just so many ships. What I did say, though, is that they're investigating. I tweeted this. They're investigating serial killers, but Vanessa Morgan is basically a serial killer for trying to break up Bughead, is how I feel. I think she's just a murderer.
I definitely saw some intense
murderer
reaction.
Of love.
A murderer of love.
That's right.
Twitter was having intense feels about it. They were not happy.
I just like both the couples a lot. So yes, there's so much to cover. I think let's just start there. Let's start with the Tony Topaz, Betty Cooper, It was this episode, right? Because I watched last week and this week back to back, and so I'm trying to make sure they don't blend together. But this was the Let Your Ponytail Down.
Yes.
Episode.
Yeah. Wow. Venomous. Savage. I thought she was like, it was a joke. I'm like, Tony, you're not that slick. You know, it didn't come off as a helpful suggestion or like, oh, is your like hair too tight? You know, that might be a thing. She was like, well, your ponytail kind of high and tight. Like, you're a tight ass. Which I thought was rude, but also I kind of loved it.
Saucy. And also that she was like, she just outs Jughead so hard about sitting with the serpents.
Tony doesn't have time for the BS.
No, she doesn't.
She's not there for it.
No.
But it felt like when Tony was giving Betty a hard time, you see Jughead laying behind Betty on the couch, and he has a smile on his face.
Yeah.
He appreciates the humor of that moment.
He knows Tony plays for keeps. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Are you already burned? Are you already just like, you felt like Betty and Jughead, they're just like old news? You want something new?
Flavor of the week, Frank.
Okay. Whoa! All right. You're going to have the fans so in a tizzy. They're going to be so upset with you.
No,
I'm constantly flip-flopping, but you were like, you're Bughead strong.
I'm still Bughead strong.
Okay.
I want the waters to be tested. I hope Jughead doesn't make a bad decision, but I loved when he didn't answer the call. I was like, oh, this is like...
Oh, yeah. That was a spicy moment.
Yeah, it was good.
But I kind of like two things about this. One, I feel like we haven't really gotten to see Jughead chill with someone he identifies with in a social aspect. And he's definitely got that kind of brother-sister level comfortability with Tony that I love. I also like the return of Almost Dark Betty. We see Betty flip into hardcore mode when, after they're like, okay, so we're going to leave. She's like, so I'm calling you out on all of your stuff. And I was like, I hope Dark Betty comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, Dark Betty, BDSM fantasies, all that stuff.
Okay, that's extreme, but you know.
Now, I mean, also, I know that Jughead doesn't pick up when she calls, but when he texts her back, she just kind of looks at it and just sets it down, doesn't respond to either.
Right.
So they're both kind of a little leery to kind of in that moment.
So let's just acknowledge right off the bat the fact that Betty didn't share the letter with anyone is completely absurd. Like the justifications she was throwing out there were just like, what?
I could understand that for the craziness of it too, but then Alice Cooper, because she is interesting to me, because she, well, one moment, like, cry crocodile, well, I don't know if they're crocodile tears, but
they seemed like it.
Yeah, to Betty about everything that's happening with Polly.
I can't protect you guys.
At the other moment, then she is just whipping this town into a frenzy about getting rid of the South Side too.
Right.
She can't have it both ways.
She's like, just close the high school.
I mean, she seems like a extreme conservative kind of tight, you know, upper crust mom, which is like a real person.
Yeah, right.
You know, someone who's like, if I can't control you, then you might be hurt, which is a very extreme, ridiculous way of thinking. But also, like, when has closing a school ever helped a community? Mrs. Draper. That's not how it works. I was done with her after that. I said no more sympathy for Mrs. Draper.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely some stuff in this episode that was kind of strange. I have to say that the biggest miss so far, season one or two of Riverdale, for me, like, the biggest flop, has been the character of Polly Cooper. It's such a bizarre and irrelevant character that they've done so little with.
When she was such a crux of the tail end of last season.
She was like, and no shade thrown at Tierra Scavi, like, it's not a performance thing.
Yeah.
She was this like big, like, hint of that character until the second half of last season. And she shows up, she has like a couple scenes and a couple episodes that matter. We don't really ever see her baby, right? She had the baby.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really see it more than once or twice. And then she just leaves in this. She's gone. Like, and it was just such a weird character. Like, I feel like they really had an opportunity and they just were like, yeah, we don't know what to do with her. She's going to leave.
Unless she's a serial killer.
Maybe, or she'll get killed or something.
I feel like, I don't know.
She's a high school girl. She's like, I'm just going to run away with my baby. I'm 17. I'll be fine.
Yeah,
and Betty's like, yeah, I'll support you, sister. You'll be good. Don't worry about it.
Although I can see a younger sister doing that for an older sister. Because there's, like, sometimes when your older sister or sibling has their life together and they know what they're doing, there's a tendency to believe that they're capable. And I think Betty would go out on her own if she could. I think she would totally get out of there.
I feel like Betty probably would do better out on her own than Polly.
They says she still is pregnant. Okay, so yeah. I guess we didn't ever see the baby. I guess she's still pregnant. It doesn't really change my opinion all that much because, like, I still think that her just being like, yeah, I'll just run away. I'm just, like, not even a legal adult yet, and I'll just go have my baby by myself. That's safe. Is also crazy. I feel like they just don't know what they're doing with that character. And they could have just kept her in the background, but just never featuring her was probably a mistake. So they were like, it's better to just put her somewhere else, and Who knows? Maybe she. Maybe they had to write her out of the show because she booked something else. Who knows?
Also, maybe, possibly. But it also feels like her being pregnant with, you know, a child that's going to be Cooper and Blossom was such a big thing
Huge.
For last season.
Jamie
and then
Newman
to be just kind of like,
sorry, the girl playing Polly is cast in Once Upon a Time.
Oh, okay.
So then
Tiara,
Ben's
yeah.
going to be right.
Oh yeah, yeah, I did. I actually saw that. I just saw that on Twitter yesterday. But that, I guess maybe she knew a month ago, and they were just said, yeah, whatever it is. In any case, that was strange to me. But yeah, so we have this whole reaction from Alice Cooper, where she's flipping out, but what I don't understand is that Betty, there's my suspension of disbelief that I get into with this show, where I'm like, you're all like 16 and 17, and you're like just trying to take on the world, but you're our main characters, so we have to treat you like you're all like adults, like 25-year-old, 30-year-old characters who like have the experience and everything to just deal with problems, because otherwise the show wouldn't be fun, because we'd be watching children.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like their sensibilities have to be relatable. And that's not relatable. You don't get a letter from a serial killer who's murdered people, like actually shot your friends, killed your former teacher, like murdered people. People are dead and like not share it with the police. Like that's crazy to me. What world are you living in that you have enough of a grasp on what's going on that like it's a serial killer?
Yeah.
But Betty, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Joelle.
I was going to say, Betty has a mother who shames her at every possible turn. Like, she's been so restricted and to the ponytail comment remark. Like, she is high, strong, and very tight. And I think shame silences a lot of people.
Yeah, I feel that.
And so on that thread, like, I totally saw her being like, I don't want it to be my fault. And I definitely don't want Archie, who I'm still secretly in love with, to think that I'm the reason his father got shot.
I don't know if I buy that, that she's still secretly in love.
She's openly in love.
I mean, I can understand the Alice Cooper thing too. I mean, if you had your mom, it's a fine line because
yeah,
I could see
right.
definitely see like it's one thing to be worried about your mom like all of a sudden like just being an overprotective parent and just stepping on you
yeah.
and making sure that you can't go out because she was so worried about you because a serial killer sent you a personal letter, to also be like it was a serial killer that sent you a personal letter. If this is any time that you should at least run to an authority figure. Whether it be police or your mother.
Put your ego aside, madam.
Yeah. You're concealing evidence
yes.
in a murder investigation because you're afraid of getting grounded. Like that.
Hey, man,
but when you break
there.
It down like that,
we've all been there.
Like, you could be arrested if information doesn't, like, you had information and someone else gets murdered. Like,
I'm sorry, Sheriff Keller going to do anything to anyone?
No. I mean,
she's
listen,
pretty safe.
There's a certain amount of suspension of disbelief you have to go with shows like this, but I just think it's important to acknowledge it because, like, that's what's happening.
I do feel like for Sheriff Keller, like, that town hall meeting was pretty much, to me, just him admitting, like, guys, I'm in it over my head. I can't do much
yeah.
for you guys.
Yeah.
That was what that whole meeting was about. I can't do much. I don't got the budget. I got nothing.
It's pretty great. Yeah, I'm into it. I didn't get to comment on it last week because I wasn't here, but the moment between Kevin and his dad at the end of last week, the hug was a really nice moment.
Oh,
it was a great moment.
They're,
fist bump worthy?
Yes. I fist bumped.
I think it was Daniel Jose Older, who's an incredibly talented writer, who was talking about his own experience with his father and like the importance of seeing that moment on TV, not of, you know, judgment or necessarily even about, you know, his son being gay, but just like, I understand
yeah.
you and I'm here for you. And we just need to have an open conversation about this. And that was a really beautiful moment. It's
yeah.
touching.
Yeah. Really nice. So other things going on in this episode, we have reactions to Archie's I'm a get you sucker video that he made.
Oh,
that
my
I can go all over
God.
That video. That video, as I talked about last week,
yeah.
is so bonkers.
Yeah, it's great, right?
It is so.
Wow, talk about suspension of disbelief. I was like, where is a high school with these bodies? Not a thing that exists.
Yeah, I was
ridiculous.
Like, there's like a whole. We should just do an episode about the video. First of all, it pretty much looked like the setup for a very, very homoerotic porno.
Yes.
It was about to just get down. Like the whole vibe was just going to change. That was one. I think high school bodies, you're maybe not totally correct. Cause like, yeah, I mean, you're probably right. But like some of those dudes probably can work out pretty hard.
I said, you would get like one or two people,
yeah.
But even like a high school football team is still made up of like 13 and 14 year old like boys. Like, no.
But again, like I was saying last week, I want to be in that meeting when they were deciding how they were going to shoot this video. And it's not like we should take our shirts off. Yeah, we should take our shirts off.
Everybody, take your shirts off. Yeah. Hey, here's the body butter. Go ahead. I also like the idea that the one guy to the right of him was still wearing a shirt.
Yep.
That he was probably like, guys, I'm not ripped.
Don't make me take my shirt off. Please.
And like, so the other thing that I would love was like, all right, so first of all, whose YouTube account does that get uploaded from? And then also like, who does it, like, who shares it? Like, it's that, like, Archie's like, all right, we're gonna make this video. We'll just put it on the internet, and then this guy will find it.
Yeah.
He'll just, we'll put it out there, and we'll hashtag it the right way. Somebody will find it, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Small town, though. Small town, and also, like, that's the popular kids. Like, it's the football team, because they unmask themselves like idiots. I think it gets shared around. And if it's done for Betty, like, you know, so you see what I'm saying.
Just comment, shirtless video was so gay. I mean, I can't totally disagree.
Thank you, Young and Savage, for that insightful commentary.
Yeah, like, come on. Like,
all I want to see is just the other shows that exist in that world that would pick up that video and start making fun of it.
The people in the town would definitely see the video, and the girls, the 16-year-olds would look at the video and, like, just, like, laugh and be like, you have to see this. This is the sweetest thing I've ever seen. Like, this has to be a joke. And, like, I feel like nobody would... Like, I guess the fact that there's a murder investigation going on is the reason that video is significant and people are treating it seriously. But I try to think of in my life, if I was like in high school and some kids I knew did that, I would like share the video with everybody and be like, guys, you have to see this. I can't get over how good this is.
You know what this episode is really missing? Is a school like assembly about like how you're not supposed to go like actively look for people. Like, you guys remember how we have all those lockdown drills and we tell you not to approach the shooter? We want you to take that into your lives outside of the school and not go after a serial killer.
Yeah.
I feel like it's strongly missing from this episode.
How can we show this guy that we're going to scare him now? Take off your shirts, guys. Yeah. This will show him. This will get him panicked.
It was sweet. Ridiculous. That was a good moment. Archie was far from milquetoast in that moment.
Oh, man.
Yeah. KJ's yoked. Let's
No, he did. That's true. That is true.
Let's be honest. He's got that good thing going on where he's got low enough body fat content that his last ab is like a flat... You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I have studied.
When you sit like that, any fat content left on the bottom of your stomach is just going to... I mean, he is kind of leaning back in the scene.
But still, nope.
But it's a hard move to achieve. So hats off to you, KJ.
He's working it.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I was thinking about that or anything. So anyway, what was I talking about? So let's talk about the fight in the rain. I guess we should probably start with the fact that Archie goes to the south side and pulls a gun on these guys.
You guys, the moment before when he's spray painting, I'm like, how hard is Archie? Like, my God, you're spray painting. This is your act of rebellion, giant red circle. Yeah. And then he pulled out the gun and said, oh, shit, well, excuse me, Archie. Like, damn. I wasn't expecting it, even though we had revealed it last episode. But also, I'm kind of surprised the Southside snakes back down so easily.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he did pull a gun on them. They're 16, so...
they talk a hard game.
Yeah, right. And I guess we have to step outside of, like... We have to step outside of the fact that this is, like, a TV show and, like, remember that they're supposed to represent, like, a much tougher, much more, like, I guess, like, urban violent sort of, like, part of the city. So they've seen more guns, maybe, in theory, because there's more crime and drugs or something.
This was my thought process.
Yeah, but that also means I feel like they'd be a little less... But they weren't that scared, because they showed up to his house. So they just knew where he lived.
It was interesting, though. I mean, I guess we identify more and we know more about the Southside Serpents. But last episode, when we learned more about that other faction that is on the Southside, too, that are much more aggressive.
Yeah.
I was really expecting Archie to run in front of one of those guys and then see something.
What are they called? The Ghoulies?
The Ghoulies, yeah.
Yeah.
But
they're tough.
Yeah, didn't happen.
Right.
Southside strong.
Southside strong.
That's right.
Yeah. Southside is that's a no joke. That's cool. It's the real deal.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about the fight. So Archie, first of all, pulls a gun. He's like spray painting, wants to find the Red Hood. He's like, get out of my way. And I want to be like, no, they found you. So you just go home now. You painted your circle.
Yeah.
What do you,
in that situation, you know, they're not going to back down. So why are you pushing it?
Also, like, I guess you wanted to paint more circles, but you painted one.
Yeah.
And that's enough. The Southside kids saw you. So anyway, there's a sweet fight in the rain. it was pretty cool. They were all like, you know, covered in rain and whatnot.
They let Archie get that first shot too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that slow-mo right in the jaw.
Yeah, it was good.
Classics.
Yeah, it was a good slow-mo. And this is after Veronica makes the shirts, and she's being so supportive, blind loyalty. There's a good scene between her and her mom in this episode.
Yes.
The blind loyalty scene. I could see you were definitely, your fingers were moving.
I have questions. So is this a warning? You know, obviously it's a warning, but is it a, like, coded warning of, like, don't be like me, I did that with your father? Or is it, like, a reveal of, like, I was not that stupid with your father? And I'm equally within the business. I'm inclined to believe the latter.
I was waiting for Veronica to voice something like that back to her. I was waiting for that to be kind of like the stinger to that scene.
Sort of thing?
Yeah. And it never happened. I was like, I feel like that conversation could have gone a little bit further.
To be fair to the writers, though, they do code a lot of stuff happening between Hermione and Hiram in this episode. That this is seriously my favorite couple on the show, because I'm fascinated by women in power. And they still refuse to let us know 100% like how much is Hermione in it.
Right.
But the clues we got this week were Hiram says he backs her up in a parenting move, which is kind of the first time we've seen that. We've seen him threaten her in several different ways, very creepily. But for the first time, he kind of seems to be on her side. And then when they're in the meeting and he's talking about it's chaos, she looks like that is the most delicious word she's ever heard.
Right.
I'm excited to see her go full godmother. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Do you still agree that she's godmother after last week's episode?
I believe it a little less, because they're giving Mark and Suelos like a pretty good run. They're like definitely giving him some good scenes, and they're... definitely feels like he's got more of a role than I was expecting. But it could be a bait and switch. They could just be setting us up. I do still think, even if they're not working under the understanding that she's in power, I think she's going to end up in power. Mm. That's I still believe that she's like the person that comes out on top, even if he's not aware of that. I think she has her own machinations, her own plans.
Definitely.
That she's been working on.
Also, the biggest thing we learned this week is, I told you he was going to be a problem. I was like, oh, so it's not just like the Goonies on the ground. Because before I was kind of led to believe like, oh, well, maybe it was one of the Southside Serpents reporting back to him. Like, hey, there's this guy here. But no, she ratted Archie's dad out herself. Was that not a bomb for everyone else? Were you guys just feeling like this was...
Wait, which now happened? What?
So Hermione tells Hiram...
at the town hall.
Yes. That Mr. Andrews... was going, that she told him Mr. Andrews was going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah,
which means she initially picked up the phone when he was in jail and was like, we need to handle this. Or maybe she just tried to handle it on her own. We don't know, but that to me says a lot about where she stands and how much pretend two-faced fakeness we've seen from her so far.
Yeah, like the whole thing with Fred was maybe just a setup. Yeah, which, and yeah, Fred doesn't serve me set up. You know,
it's tough with Hermione from last season, because I felt like some of the early scenes, like with her and Veronica when they're first establishing themselves back in Riverdale, seemed very genuine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Like she wanted that job at Pops and she was just trying to get by.
Yeah. And she was so close back with Veronica back then. I miss when they were happy and it was just mom and daughter kicking it, being like cool, almost twinsies.
But right. I feel like it's Hiram's effect. I mean, I think that you put him into the equation, he just turns everything sort of toxic.
Big time. Yeah, we also didn't get any Smithers follow-up in either of the last two episodes.
How's his mom doing?
Yeah, surprised they didn't.
Or just something even happened to Smithers at all. Was he taken care of? I'm concerned. I like Alley Cat Diva in the chat says, I feel like Hermione is more leading Beth than godmother, which I totally see too. A loving, devoted wife who is willing to murder so that she can stay queen. I buy it.
Fair enough.
One thing we didn't get a chance to talk about is Archie gets his chance, because I know you love slow-mo shots down the hallway at school.
Big time.
And Archie had his little bit of one after.
I loved that shot when he walks in school and everybody looks like scared of him. Yeah. We didn't get the pussycats.
No.
But I liked that moment a lot. And yeah, that was really cool. I just like Archie's style. I don't think buying a gun was particularly smart. And I think he's a little over the top. It seems like he's kind of learned his lesson now a little bit. You know, we had a good almost sex scene at the end of the episode, but not quite. And then he tosses the gun.
I feel like it's tough with Archie, because also, like you were saying, you got to put your kind of think like they're 16 or 17-year-old teenagers. Is standing right there watching your dad be shot and kind of bleeding out in front of you has got to mess you up.
Big time.
So, I mean, so like when he's having that argument with Betty and just says, I don't care what happens to me. You know, I could definitely buy that he's just gone off the deep end for right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's starting to kind of check himself and rein himself back in.
Once again, this is like a really great exploration of the initial character of Archie, like all the way back from the comic books of like just a kid who wants to do really good and is kind of harder on himself than everybody else, but also can never quite make things work. but thrown into a murder mystery. And every time I think about it, I'm just grateful we like I'm alive during this era of Archie.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that he gets this, who does it like a. Betty refers to Jughead as American Psycho, or Veronica refers to Archie as American Psycho?
Veronica refers to Archie as American Psycho.
As American Psycho.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a pretty specific reference that I feel like is, like, not actually correct. I think they just liked the, I think they just liked the word American Psycho. Because, like, the movie American Psycho or the book, in either case, like, I guess the idea of being, but that's, like, either calling him a serial killer, or it's calling him, like, this, like, totally vapid, ridiculous, like, surface-level weirdo.
I think Fight Club might have been a better analogy.
Yeah, right. The American History X one from the previous episode rang far, far more true for me. But American Psycho is, like, legitimately one of my favorite names of all time. Or, did I just say names?
Titles?
It's because, movies? Yes, movies. And the reason is because the last name Bateman was a nickname from American Psycho that became my last name. I changed my last name like a decade ago. Did you guys know that?
Oh, no.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
After American Psycho, Ben?
Well, there's a longer story there, but the really honestly, the honest, like, just, like, not exaggerating version of it is that I, like, took a job when I was 19 at Nordstrom, and I had this, my boss had the same first name as me, and I, like, have never liked my old last name particularly, and so my nickname was Bateman, because at the previous Nordstrom store that I worked at when I was 18, we quoted it all the time, because it's, like, a funny movie. I mean, it's a serial killer movie, but it's a funny movie, because they all wear suits and whatever, and, like, we all wore suits and sold suits, so it's, like, there's, like, we pulled lines from it. Anyway, long story short, my business cards came with the new store, and it said just Ben Bateman, and I was, like, 19, I was, like, oh, that's kind of sweet. It's kind of a good name, and then
it is a strong name.
Flash forward a decade, and I'm still Ben Bateman. So
I thought it was because you loved Arrested Development, but
no,
I was wrong.
So anyway, never told that story before.
Look at this! Look at what I was doing for us, folks. Yeah, it's bringing us closer together.
Yes, I love it.
Anyway, the American Psycho reference rang true for me because I like that movie.
Well, I figured like it would have worked better if he would have been talking like waxing philosophically about a Phil Collins song or something like that. But he didn't do that. He was just threatening some of the Black Hood.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah. Yeah, it was kind of loose. So anything else that we missed? So we had the fight, the slumber fight, the town hall meeting. No other like big Tony Topaz, Jughead Jones moments this episode, right? Like she threw down the gauntlet a little bit.
Touched his shoulder when she came in as he was
and they showed his reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, he noticed.
He's about it.
Yeah. I want Cole Sprouse on here with us so badly.
That would be amazing.
I tweeted him all the time. I tweeted at him.
So guys, what we're asking you to do is to tweet at Cole Sprouse obsessively about how he should come on AfterBuzz and talk to us.
Talk Meltdown Comics.
And then send us your questions because we'll ask them.
We do have that. I mean, of course, the whole crux of that, Betty, is the focus of that, and it's all about deciphering the the code that she's got, and it's through her Nancy Drew, whatever code breaking.
Yeah,
it's somebody that's just like you go back. It's like tied in directly to Betty, so she has to go back and remember this code from Nancy Drew.
Right, she has to go and pull all the. She gets the because Jughead makes the comment. Because
when they decipher it and they break the code where it says we're gonna go back to where it all began, I was thinking, well, is it Betty's Betty's speech
or Pop Tate's?
Pop Tate's. Well, Betty's speech came before Pop Tate's. So,
right.
But also thinking, does it also have further implications back with Jason Blossom, where something had changed within the town?
Right.
So I was like, so when they went back by, like, to Sweetwater River, I was like, ooh, maybe there's something to get. They're the ones that are going to get attacked.
Yeah.
Because back by Sweetwater. But he does not show up at all in any of these locations. So
no.
Who knows what this, is this a red herring or what?
It's a good question. It's one I'll be thinking about for the whole week.
Look at that.
I guess the last bit of the episode was that, you know, they show up at the town hall and they say they've deciphered this thing and now we wait. And then Betty gets this phone call. She gets, hello, this is the Red Hood the Black Hood.
The Black Hood. Yep.
Yeah. And, now he's got her number and she's going to be terrified. It's pretty creepy stuff, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a serial killer. Like, let's be honest about what this is. Like, so I mean, Jason Blossom getting murdered was pretty bad, but this guy's just a straight up serial killer.
Well, and how long has he been stalking Betty? I mean, like Nancy Drew books are things girls usually are done with by about 13, you'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a minute since I imagine she'd picked that up. So, it's scary stuff. I'm starting to have predictions about who the serial killer is.
Well, also, like, so you got to think about who he went after. So he's aware of, like, the Miss Grundy stuff. And there weren't that many people that knew about that. That was, like, kind of off the table.
Mm-hmm,
it was, like, relatively underground. I love that I wasn't here to recap it with you guys last week. But, like, all of the predictions of Moose and Midge, either of them being dead, was just, like, so far off. Just, yeah. like, not even close. Midge was like, I didn't get shot because my boyfriend's a beefcake. And he's like, I got shot repeatedly, but I'm still good.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why we're working out, man. That's what we're doing.
So, wait, has this guy killed anyone yet?
Yeah. He killed Sarah Hable.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Geraldine with the bow. Grundy.
Okay, yeah. So, two people?
Just her.
Just her. Okay, yes, yes. For the name of Geraldine. Right, cool.
Viciously wounded.
So not two. Technically a serial killer yet.
Got it, yeah. It's just a serial assaulter.
Yes. Yeah,
right.
Slash right. murderer.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the, almost like that whole town hall meeting, like the mayor, like Robin Givens, I feel like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. I feel like that role, I don't know about it. But every time that she is there, I always expect to see Josie like perform a song.
Yeah.
So I was expecting her to bring out the Pussy and the Cats and then to sing a song at the town hall.
Yeah, they like really don't give Robin Givens much.
No.
She's had like one scene, I think, in like the entire show where she's had like a real moment with her daughter. And aside from that, they just like, she's just a figurehead character.
She's the mayor.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, hey, that's cool. It's cool. All right, guys, let's get into predictions. Boomtown.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Nice.
All right, so first of all, what's your first guess on who the serial
is? Not physically doing the killing, but controlling the puppet. I think it's Polly.
You think Polly Cooper
is? Here's why. One, it's a great twist.
It's a good twist.
We don't know much about her. She's got a ton of grievances. She knows a lot about Betty, including her schedule. She is one of the few people who knew about Grundy because Betty confided in her in season one. Why? I'm not 100% sure, but I would be surprised if she doesn't go after her mother next.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, yeah, but it's like, but then I feel like the outlier for that is Fred Andrews. Like, what's the beef against Fred Andrews? Or Archie?
Archie broke her sister's heart.
And so it was really after Archie and Fred jumped in the way. Yeah, that might be it too. I mean, that could be, yeah, Fred could have, his injury could have really kind of altered what we think of the actual suspects or the potential targets were.
I think that we're going to get, before the end of this season, we're going to get some Archie-Betty romance. I think we're going to be back on that train.
I agree.
I don't exactly know how we're going to get there, because obviously Tony Topaz is, we're getting set up easily for that, to break up Bughead. But how are you going to break up Veronica and Archie in a way that would make sense with Betty? And I think it's probably the second half, like it might be the season finale is where we get to. But I think that we're going to go there this season.
Hiram threatens her that he will kill Archie if she doesn't break up with him or something like that.
I don't know. It just feels to me. I was just thinking about that tonight. Like, I think that's a big end of season two twist.
Maybe, yeah. But I also worry then, like, and certainly I know back in high school, you know, relationships, you know, you can be on again, off again
right.
throughout all of that. But that's one thing, I guess, for real life. But in a TV show, do we really want to get, like, on again, off again, on again, off again, like mixing, matching? It's Betty and Archie. It's Veronica yes. and Archie.
I could see them, like, if they, you know, it's like a we were on a break moment, everything falls apart, and then Archie and Betty in that moment, maybe, like, you know, one night, but then Archie and Veronica kind of go back together. It's, like, lingers for two seasons that happened. That kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I think the pacing has to be good, but it makes sense to me that these two, because they didn't get together because Archie said, I'm just never going to be good enough for you. And we see Archie doing a lot of like character work on himself right now. So it would make sense to me, character-wise, like, that they might get back together.
He filmed a video with a bunch of dudes shirtless wearing red hoods.
He's sweet. Not making really great sweet. Decisions, but he's trying. He's trying some different. He's putting himself out there, Frank. Can't mock the kid for that.
He bought a gun. I mean, Dylan got 7. You got stabbed in the knee. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
there was a question in the chat earlier that I thought was really good, and I wanted to ask you guys. Do you think Hermione, Hiram, or the combination of the two are behind the Black Mask?
No. I think he's a serial killer, and I think it's too devious.
But I'm sure Hiram is not one to let something like that go by and not use it to his advantage.
Yeah, what truly. They're trying to pull a Heath Ledger as the Joker and, you know, use the chaos.
Yeah. And let's give it up for Reggie, because I know, like, last season we didn't see much of him. We're seeing a lot more of him this season.
New Reggie.
Yeah, new Reggie. It's interesting. Yeah. Did anyone else get a Godfather feeling when he comes back into the house with all the football players?
He's like, but in the Book of Red, you're a top-tier loyal badass that's now, bro.
I was like, this is very high school level, like, Godfather. Like, I brought all the guys with me, and we're going to make peace, and then we're going to go kick some guys' asses. I appreciated it. It was cute.
Still, though, it makes me crazy, though. Like, what's Archie doing that? Because Reggie goes to his house with the black mask on
to
joke around with Archie. So then he takes it off him, and then he says, you know what, I'm just not going to leave this at home. I'm going to bring it to school locker. And put it in my locker. Like, what? Yeah. Why would you do that?
Totally. Sure, that's foolish.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then Betty, Archie making Veronica get his gun out of the toilet.
Yeah.
Doing like the Godfather.
She didn't like that. She did the move where she's reaching in the top side of the toilet, even though it's just clean water in the back of the toilet. Yeah, Everybody knows that. Anyway, guys, I think that's going to wrap us up. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Same time, same place. Next week, we'll be back to talk more Riverdale. So exciting. We've got 18 episodes left to talk this season. 18 weeks together, Frank.
I can't wait.
Look at your face.
Look at this. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Frank loves the show. I love the show. I love Joel. I love Frank. And I'm so happy we're talking about it. Thanks for listening to us, guys. Where can the folks find you guys if they want to follow along with your life?
You can follow me on social media at Happy Go Jackie. And I look forward to learning more secrets about Ben Bateman throughout the rest of the 18 episodes.
Bateman, yeah.
Yeah, secret last names and stuff. Very cool. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. And this weekend, you might be able to see some cool stuff. We're still trying to decide, but, you know, check it out.
Cool. Very cool. And, yeah, guys, keep tuning in. I do this show and Walking Dead right now, plus some other stuff on Popcorn Talk, BHL, whatnot. So, yeah, look around. You'll find me, Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram, same place, Riverdale, next week. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.